Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into the best fatherhood radio show in the world. Furthering Fathering Radio Show. Furthering Fathering Radio Show. With your host, Pastor Jeremy Maynard. You know his motto. He's excited to be alive. The Furthering Fathering Radio Show starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You ready?
Let's get the conversation started.
We start off by honoring our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28:30-68 and Romans 12:2. And they read as follows. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:68 says, "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I speak unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah, of God." Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the renewing of our mind. Thank you, Lord, for the truth which makes us free. Thank you, Lord, for your fatherhood. You are the prototype of fatherhood. Bless us, Lord, to overcome redacted history, blacked out history. Bless us, Lord, to overcome the politics, Lord. Bless us, Lord, to overcome the colonialisms and the effects thereof. Bless all fatherhood made in your image and likeness. We thank you, Lord, for victory where fatherhood is concerned. In the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, amen and amen. Well, you know, Elder Ron, it's good to know that you're over there. You know, I'm always excited to know you're with us. I'm always happy that you're on board. Well, you know, the truth hurts. The truth discriminates against everything false, and the truth makes us free. Accuracy is the aim, propulsion, and targeting of truth. Yet any marksman, we were just talking before we came on about being archers. I'm an archer, and I love shooting bows and arrows. And we're both ex-military, so we know about this. Any marksman or archer knows everything from environment to the rotation of the earth, to our own breathing, our own heartbeats, and the steadiness that we need to maintain all factor into the hitting a target dead on. During this month, which is called Black History Month, the achievements of prominent and even obscure melanated people are highlighted to correct past targeting. However, what these people were and are up against also factor into the equation where truthful accuracy is concerned. So we're going to delve into, on this February 14th, a discussion on how colonialism, a match with paganism, along with racism, has impacted fatherhood throughout the diaspora. Yes, yes, yes. There are so many facets to this. When you first heard the title, and we had our conversations earlier, and if you get a chance, listen to Morning Prayer and Good Conversations. You can find those both on my YouTube channel, also on my Twitter page, also on Facebook. You can find our Good Conversations and our Morning Prayers. And we were praying about things on a foundation. In other words, we're praying about building on the rock and being constructive, using what is best and blessed. Be constructive. So as we delve into this conversation, we also watched together a video of a young man describing his opinion on the Wakanda Forever and his issues with it because of how it did not properly handle colonialism and the effects and even the solutions thereof. So first, Ron, address the listeners on how you would a good approach to even ascertaining the truth about colonialism and its effect on fatherhood. But before you say that, we want to say Father and Father Radio is officially a top 27 in the world in parenting podcasts. Yes, yes, yes. Let's say that again. Yes. Top 27 in the world in parenting podcasts. You see, if the truth makes us free and we desire for our future generations, no matter where you come from, what tribe or creed you come from, you must properly ascertain the truth to operate in wisdom. So, Ron, let's delve into this. Go ahead, my brother.
Ooh, it is almost to the point, it's so much, it is almost overwhelming when you think about this. And you need to have the proper items for research. You don't need to hear people's opinions. You need to have documentation. You don't need to have second-hand documentation. You need first-hand documentation. First-hand, what I mean is those who physically saw the events, those who physically wrote about the event that was there or had access to it, and those who left the historical writing, whether they be explorers, whether they were surveyors, whether they were traders or business people, whatever the case would be, that took them into those lands in those time frames, and they documented their time, where they were, what they saw, what they heard, what was done in their presence, what they were given tribute to. And those kinds of documentation, I would always recommend to people, anything that's written after 1850, you might want to kind of second guess it. Anything before 1850 is pretty much going to be very on spot and full of a lot more truth than anything after. And because they had time at a certain period to begin to shift things, change the way things were worded or written, change the names of places, dates, times, the whole kit and caboodle. So one of the greatest ways to view propaganda is to make you think that you got the truth and you don't. But it's so convincing the way it's structured and put together, you believe it enough. And as with most propaganda, it only can be effective when it's allowed to travel through masses of people and convince more than less.
Yes, it's key.
So you want to know that you have truth. And on the road of discovery, when you start discovering stuff, you always look for collaborating resources. Go into dictionaries, go into encyclopedias, go into your university writings. A lot of your universities have historical writings. They have things there that you probably would not think they do, and they collaborate a lot of the stuff that you find. Go into stuff that has to do with museums. Archaeology is a great area to go into. Even science, history. Most people, when they look at biblical stuff, they don't realize that history and biblical lines up. You want to understand who was in power at a certain time when certain things were written biblically? Go look in history and find out who was there at that time. What were those called at the time when those writings were written? If you want to see what John was writing about or what Paul was writing about or Timothy, all of them, go find out what the lands they were referring to were called at that time. Who was in charge? Who was the royalty? Who was the leaders? You know, what were the people in those lands called then compared to what they're called now? Because I can guarantee you, for the most part, most of them had a different name then than they do now. Look at different writings in different other languages. Don't just try to base stuff off of what you know in English.
Yes.
Go find out what those names mean in the dialogue and in the writings of the people in that place, and you'll find that there is a name there that's totally different than what you see in the English writing, which will lead you to the origin of the people of that region. Because of many of these people, many of these regions, if they didn't keep written record, they kept oral record. It's amazing to see that you have people for 3-4 centuries that have passed down their history and the knowledge of their people through oral traditions and continue to do so.
Yes, 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 yes. So every 2 minutes to the quarter, we're going to go to a break. And we're getting a minute away, but you said a word, propaganda, right? And I'm going to give the definitions that are shown on the internet regarding propaganda. The first definition is information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. It is misinformation. That's a nice way of putting misinformation. But the second one is just as interesting. The second one, and this is a little controversial, but it is the definition. Number two is a committee of cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church responsible for foreign missions, founded in 1622 by Pope Gregory the 15th. We'll get into that, but first we're going to go into commercial, and we will be...
One of the initiatives here at Furthering Fathering is to raise awareness around sickle cell disease. Help us to be a blessing to sponsor 10 kids from ages 7 to 17 to Camp New Hope in July 2023. Brought to you by the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. Registration opens soon with a cost of $150 per child. Help Further and Father and sponsor at least 10 kids. You can be a blessing today by visiting our website to make a donation at www.furtheringfathering.org. Click the donate button and choose Sickle Cell Camp. Make a donation of any amount, but our goal is to at least raise $1,500. Which will cover the cost of 10 kids.
The research-based curriculum, Getting to the Heart of Fathers, 5 Core Principles Workbook introduces the 5 core principles of furthering fathering, and it makes them practical. The acronym principles, which form the word H-E-A-R-T, heart, are honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Along with your consultation,
The curriculum can be taught in a variation of sessions, virtually and in person, according to need. For more, contact us at www.furtheringfathering.org, email us at info@furtheringfathering.org, or call us at 888-380-3370.
Haven Church Global, the safe place to grow in grace, where peace is made and the truth makes us free. Join the Haven Church Global's e-service every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a word of encouragement on Jeremy Anthony Maynard's Facebook page and the Jeremy Maynard YouTube page. For more information, visit havenchurchofny.org.
Let's get the conversation started.
Yes, Furthering Fathering Radio, the brothers are back in the building. Blacked Out History, how the politics of colonialism affects black fatherhood. Yes, well, we were just talking about propaganda, and I gave the definition. You need to rewind and catch that. Rewind it a few times and catch that, or even just look it up yourself, because what I said, I read straight from out of Google. Yes, but I looked up seven ways propaganda is used to maintain colonialism, and it's a powerful tool. It's used to influence public opinion and shape perceptions of people and events. During the we call it post-colonial, but we're still in the colonial era. propaganda is used to justify and maintain it. But here are seven quick ways that and seven is the number of perfection. I could have gone more, but here are seven ways that propaganda is used to bolster, maintain, and propagate colonialism. Number one, the dehumanization of colonized people. It portrays colonized people as inferior, uncivilized, and a need for civilizing those people. It's used as a justification for the exploitation of their lands and their resources. Number two, the demonization of resistance. Propaganda portrays resistance to colonization as criminal, rebellious, and a threat to order, a threat to order and stability. It uses violence and repression against those opposed to colonial rule. Number three, portraying colonial powers as benevolent. Propaganda is presenting the colonial powers as bringing progress or civilization or development to the colonized people. This obscures the reality of exploitation, violence, and oppression that the colonizers do. Number four, control of the media and entertainment. Colonial powers control the media in territories they control, which allow them to shape public opinion and limit the access to alternative viewpoints. Number five, indoctrination. Oops, education. Oops, education. Education. Colonial educational systems were used to reinforce colonial propaganda to promote colonial values, norms, and beliefs. This serves to instill colonized peoples as the idea that their cultures and traditions were inferior and they should aspire to emulate their colonizers. Number six, symbolic representation. Colonial propaganda often uses symbols and imagery, flags or symbols and imagery, statues, symbols and imagery reinforce colonial power and authority. This includes flags, national emblems or anthems, colonial architecture, which were intended to symbolize the superiority of colonial powers. And number seven are false narratives of history. Hallelujah. False narratives of history. Colonial propaganda promotes a distorted version of history that represented colonial powers as heroes and saviors rather than aggressors and exploiters. And this helped to create a sense of legitimacy and inevitably around colonialism, and to downplay the injustices and violence it involved. I could go into seven more, but we'll stop right there. You know, as we do this next 8 minutes before our next break, when you heard those seven, what did it spark in you, Elderon?
Say that again.
When you heard those seven that I just gave, the seven effects of how propaganda is used to maintain a colonialism, did that spark something? Did it like bring things to mind? Can you speak to that? Yes.
Every single day you see it. Every single moment you let yourself be in front of what we call a television, or you allow certain things to go in your ears, you are dealing with that because it is so profound. It is the foundation of everything that is given to you every day. Every day. In every form, whether it's dealing with food, whether it's dealing with entertainment, whether it's dealing with education. I mean, we're seeing all the stuff playing out in front of us. We got an argument that has been fuming for, I guess, the last, I say, probably 2-3 years. It really took fire on the removing of Black history out of schools. You ask, why? Who does that affect? Think about it. You've had Black history in schools for quite a while now. Now, of course, you and I both know they only have selected figures that they put in there year after year after year. It's been the same people since you and I were in school.
Yeah, some of it's Boulay, some of them are gatekeepers. I'm not in the mood to cover anything or say anything lightly tonight. Some of it are gatekeepers, you know, who serve.
Yeah, we going to wonder.
Yes, they place these people in the front, and as though those are the only things we should aspire to be, as if we don't have a past, a glorious past, not a regular past, but a glorious past. I'll give you
an example of what somebody said about us back in what was that time that he spoke these words? He spoke it in 1783. Did you hear the year I just said?
Yes.
1783. I didn't say 1973. I didn't say 2023. I didn't say 18. I said 1783. And it was a gentleman called Count Vercisi, a French traveler to the Middle East. He spent 4 years in Egypt and Syria. And he wrote in a well-known book these words. Hear me closely, people. It may be the first time you've ever heard this. Don't fall out your chair. He said, how we are astonished when we reflect to the race of Negroes at present our slaves and the objects of our content. We owe our art, our science, and when we reflect that in the midst of these notions, these natives who call themselves the friends of liberty and humanity, the most barbarous and barbarous of slavery is justified. That it is even a problem whether the understanding of the Negro be the same species with that of white men. In spite of deserving respect for which he brought this into engagement, his opinion on the subject was never accepted. How is that possible? You got firsthand account of this man saying, wait a minute, dude. These folks that you enslaving on the plantation, these are who we owe everything we call civilized to. How can you justify enslaving them knowing that they're just as human as you are?
Yes.
If I go back 3 centuries earlier to Portugal and Spain, and we all know if I say that number, everybody going to know what it results to. 1492. Everybody knows what that means.
Yes.
Because you've been indoctrinated with propaganda to understand that 1492 is a trigger year. You've been indoctrinated that that's the time when Christopher Columbus discovered America. The first thing in there that's wrong is that it was discovered.
Yes.
How you going to discover something when there's somebody there?
Come on. He visited. Come on. He visited.
Yeah, you visited. And you didn't even visit America. You only got as far as what they call Hispaniola, which is half Dominican, half is Haiti.
Yes.
So you never touched the shores of what is called the coastline of North America or South America for that part.
Or Central.
And,
Or Central.
Yes, none of that. None of that. But here's the catch. People don't understand that the King of Portugal was given authority by the Pope of the Catholic Church. I'm going to say it again. By the Pope of the Catholic Church is called the Papal Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was issued in 1452 by the Pope. I think it was Pope either Alphonse or Pope Nicholas.
Yes.
But he issued this Papal Bull to the King of Portugal, giving authority to enslave what they called the Syracens. Now, you hear that word and they'll jump up and say, yeah, that's the Muslims he was talking about. Uh-uh.
No.
It wasn't. Going further, he said, and other non-Christians of West Africa. Hello now. Wait a minute. What did he just say? He just said West Africa. With whom Christendom was at war. Wait a minute. Whoa. Hold up. Back up. What did I just say? Was at war with. You didn't see that in the history books. You don't see that in anything you've been taught. I can go back to the time in elementary school, and I was a history buff. History was my middle name. Never in any book in any school that I ever attended did I ever see that written like that, because it's part of the propaganda so that you don't never know the real reason why they enslaved those people in that part of the world. It was intentional. They knew who they were coming to get. It wasn't by some chance that went to Africa and decided, we're going to get these dark-skinned people and we're going to enslave them. No, it was intentional. They knew who they were coming to get, and they went to a specific region to get those people.
Exactly. And on that note, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
One of the initiatives here at Furthering Fathering is to raise awareness around sickle cell disease. Help us to be a blessing to sponsor 10 kids from ages 7 to 17 to Camp New Hope in July 2023. Brought to you by the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. Registration opens soon with a cost of $150 per child. Help Furthering Fathering sponsor at least 10 kids. You can be a blessing today by visiting our website to make a donation at www.furtheringfathering.org. Click the donate button and choose Sickle Cell Camp. Make a donation of any amount, but our goal is to at least raise $1,500, which will cover the cost of 10 kids.
The research-based curriculum, Getting to the Heart of Fathers, 5 Core Principles Workbook introduces the 5 core principles of furthering fathering, and it makes them practical. The acronym principles, which form the word H-E-A-R-T, heart, are honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Along with your consultation, the curriculum can be taught in a variation of sessions virtually and in person according to need. For more, contact us at www.furtheringfathering.org, email us at info@furtheringfathering.org, or call us at 888-380-3370.
Haven Church Global, the safe place to grow in grace, where peace is made and the truth makes us free. Join the Haven Church Global's e-service every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a word of encouragement on Jeremy Anthony Maynard's Facebook page and the Jeremy Maynard YouTube page. For more information, visit havenchurchofny.org.
www.thefatheringlaw.org.
Let's get the conversation started.
Yes, yes, yes. Furthering Father and Radio. The brothers are back in the building. Blacked out history. How the politics of colonialism affects black fatherhood. Yes, we were talking about propaganda and the seven ways that it was used to promote colonialism in a heroic fashion to make it seem heroic when really it's demonic. Yes, so we were to get into specifically fatherhood. I also looked up seven ways that colonialism affects black fatherhood globally. Number one, it forced separation of families. We see it not only through the chattel slavery, but through the systems that elevate our feminine side of the diaspora, and falsely. It's a trick because really they're being used and abused and denying or even pushing away. It's why the families were separated during slavery. It's also why the welfare system was introduced to destabilize. In the 60s, 80%, 80 to 85% of black families, and I don't even like the word black, because we're not black, we're a people. Yeah. We're not a color. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Melanated people were married at a clip of 85%. So it means 85% of couples that were engaged or married and had children. So that's what was the case. Welfare system, it caused a splitting because of the necessity to create a necessity for money. The man was being pushed out and created a level of destabilization that is still affecting us now. So it forced separations of families. During the colonial era, many enslaved black fathers were forcibly separated from their families, which had a long-lasting impact on black fatherhood. This separation led to a lack of emotional connection and the ability to be involved in their children's upbringing. Number two, the destruction of cultural norms. Colonialism destroyed many traditional cultural practices that were important to the black community. This included family structures and gender roles, often resulting in a loss of the father's role as provider, protector, and disciplinarian within the family unit. Yes. Number three, stigmatization of black fatherhood. Colonizers often portrayed black fathers as absent and disinterested, still do that in their children's lives, when the statistics show that we're the most involved, especially up until the teenagers, even if we're not in the home, perpetuating a negative stereotype. This further impacted the self-esteem of black fathers and led to societal stigmatization that is still present. Number four, loss of economic opportunities. Many colonial systems actively, intentionally, prevented black fathers from obtaining employment or pursue careers, resulting in a lack of financial resources to support their families. Number five, introduction of patriarchal systems, not the making God as the father, but making the system as father. When you remove the man, it makes the system the father. And it creates an imbalance in family structures, causing black fathers to become less involved in domestic affairs. Number six, mental health, the trauma. When you say we see it every day, the trauma of colonialism and its lasting effects on black fatherhood, including the separation of families and economic instability, has a significant impact on the mental health of black fathers, not just here in the United States, but globally. Because, listen, colonialism and slavery both bolster a false sense of white supremacy. It's false.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, intergenerational trauma. The trauma and impact of colonialism has been passed down through generations, leading to disparities in black fatherhood and family structures. The effects of colonialism continue to be felt today and have impacted the roles of black fathers globally. Colonialism has had a profound effect on the aspect of family structures and fatherhood. Yes, so when you hear that now, when it comes to fatherhood, what is this? Why is there for colonizers? Why is there a strategic advantage in the demonization of fathers, of black fathers, the public execution of black fathers, whether it be police brutality or lynching or even during slavery, intentionally beating in front of the family? Why is that used? Why is that used? Why does it still propagate even today?
I think there's a scripture that might kind of reflect that.
I think I read it earlier.
Let me see if I can. I'm going to try with one that relates out of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7:6.
Okay.
And Deuteronomy 7:6, I believe, says, "Thou art a holy people unto the Most High. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." You think that might have something?
It could.
You know, stroke your chin and you think about some of the stuff that you're allowed to be successful in, and then the things that you're not. In the last recent years, you've really seen it show its face. When most of those that are deemed successful, who are men of melanated color, or skin, I should say, who are successful in their fields or their endeavors. Success meaning that millionaires or they have made it. But yet, in the midst of their so-called making it, when they do anything that's not scripted, propaganda, not scripted, they are demonized for stepping outside of the accepted boundaries in which they have been told they must operate in. It's ironic that we hear the... Say it again?
Oh, you mean Kyrie, Kanye, and Dave Chappelle? You mean those guys?
David Chappelle. I'm going down the list.
You know, Paul Robinson.
It's been set in place for years. This is nothing new. When LeBron tried it, what happened? What was he told by an anchor on a news show?
Shut up and
who
dribble.
Who happened to be a female. White female. Yep. Not even a white male. White female. Shut up and dribble. Otherwise, boys stay in their place. How dare you step out? That's part of the propaganda that we are never supposed to be anything other than what they say we are supposed to be good at. Anytime we step out of that realm, the old energy is still used today. There they go, trying to be up again. So what do you mean by being upy? Well, the thing that's said about it is that we're the greatest show on earth. Why is that? Because we're the entertainers, we're the sports icons, we're the reality television people, we are the Black Hollywood folks, and we're the
music.
I'm going to say, I ain't holding back. We them pastors that everybody looking at. Got the mega church, everybody looking at us because we got 10,000 up in the ministry. We the ones with the book deals. We the ones with the television deals and. You know, I mean, whoa, you've arrived. One ironic thing I see that seems to be a correlation between all of that is there are connecting pieces like an umbilical cord. And as we said, we hold back. It's called Bule.
Yes.
Everything is connected to some Bule organization. All the way across the board.
Oh, yeah.
That's very interesting.
That's very interesting.
It means that they're linked to something.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's factual and actual that there are those who are propped up, those who are chosen, not by the people, not chosen by the people, but chosen to represent the people.
W.E. Du Bois said years ago, the talented and temp.
There's more than temp than talented.
Yeah, the talented tip. So that means that there's only a tenth of us that are talented enough to be acceptable in society. So what happens to the other 90% of us? Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The tenth of us, and it happens to be that so interesting about that talented tenth, they all seem to be of a lighter shade of our melody. And what seems like more straight and softer hair. And they speak the king's English eloquently. Wow.
I think it has grown even beyond that, though.
In Atlanta alone, when I first came here, because of my understanding and my research and history, I started catching on to some stuff about Atlanta. I started noticing that there were certain families politically and economically and even spiritually that seemed to always be in places of positions of authority and influence in every perspective, four generations deep.
Yes.
When you start research on who are the known blacks, as they say, in Atlanta, you saw that it went five generations deep. And nobody outside of those groups ever was in a position of authority or any position to speak for the people or to the people. Interesting. Wow.
Very interesting. We're going to go to a break, and we will be right back. We will be right back.
One of the initiatives here at Furthering Fathering is to raise awareness around sickle cell disease. Help us to be a blessing to sponsor 10 kids from ages 7 to 17 to Camp New Hope in July 2023. Brought to you by the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. Registration opens soon with a cost of $150 per child. Help Further and Father and sponsor at least 10 kids. You can be a blessing today by visiting our website to make a donation at www.furtheringfathering.org. Click the donate button and choose Sickle Cell Camp. Make a donation of any amount, but our goal is to at least raise $1,500, which will cover the cost of 10 kids.
The research-based curriculum, Getting to the Heart of Fathers, Five Core Principles Workbook introduces the five core principles of furthering fathering, and it makes them practical. The acronym principles, which form the word H-E-A-R-T, heart, are honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Along with your consultation, the curriculum can be taught in a variation of sessions, virtually and in person, according to need. For more, contact us at www.furtheringfathering.org, email us at info@furtheringfathering.org, or call us at 888-380-3370.
Haven Church Global, the safe place to grow in grace, where peace is made and the truth makes us free. Join the Haven Church Global's e-service every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a word of encouragement on Jeremy Anthony Maynard's Facebook page and the Jeremy Maynard YouTube page. For more information, visit havenchurchofny.org.
Let's get the conversation started.
Yes, yes, yes. Furthering Fathering Radio. Blacked out history, how the politics of colonialism affects black fatherhood. Yes, we were knee deep in discussing the effects of colonialism on fatherhood, especially in the diaspora and the fathers specifically. There's mm-hmm. a mental health aspect, and I prefer to use the word soul power, because mental health always sounds like somebody's sick in the head, right? But really, it's the area of the soul that needs healing, that needs strengthening, that needs reinforcing, that needs really needs hope. And there's trauma connected with black, I don't even like the word black, melanated fatherhood. And let's talk a little bit about this as before we get to a close, because this conversation is going to continue, I can tell. And I know a lot of people are out with their family, with their special other ones tonight on this this holiday. And God bless, because the stability of marriage is vital in the stability of any people. The stability of marriage as intended by God, mm-hmm. the first human relationship. Adam and Eve were married. There was covenant, not contract. And there's something about the mental health aspect that we have to have the talk with our children before they leave the house. That my mother had to tell me, you had to be twice as good to get as much. There are these conversations that happen behind closed doors, where sometimes dreams get thwarted because of the limitations that have been imposed or proposed or implied. Some of them are real, some of them are not real. But let's talk about the issues of the soul and why it affects sometimes in inward conflict, not just inside of the man, but inside the family, inside the community.
Well, just talking about if you think about it, how do I want to break you down the most? It got to start from the inside. If I can remove from who the Most High says you are, if I can remove from you everything that you have done for centuries prior that allowed you to excel in what you did and replace it with something less than that, then that makes my job that much easier in controlling you. Yes. As we said earlier, propaganda. If you go back and look at most of your entertainment, most of your things concerning especially black men, mm-hmm. it always depicts you as a fool, always mm-hmm. depicts you as lazy,
criminal.
Always depicts you as no self-esteem,
womanizer.
Ignorant, womanizer, fiend, criminal. You name all the lowest things on the totem pole, and that's what you get.
Dealer.
When it comes to just look at all your stuff from the mental areas from the late 1900s. What was the first thing that was always projected of a black man? They had minstrel shows.
Yep.
And who was performing the minstrel? The Caucasian was. And he was doing what they call blackface.
Mm-hmm.
And in blackface, what did they do? They always exaggerated our physical features, such as our lips and eyes, our hair. And that became more for explaining who we were, what we were, how we operated, what we didn't operate in, and what to expect from us. So mm-hmm. we were always made to look like fools. Men with no sense of self. Men with no ability to be responsible, no accountability, no ability to make decisions, no ability to think properly, always a buffoon. And if you do this over a number of times, and it still proceeds to this day, if you look at some of the things from the minstrel shows in the early 1900s, and you come forward to the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s mm-hmm. for some of your modern-day actors, you will see the same thing. I'll give you an example. There was a 1900 advertisement of a guy called Billy King,
mm-hmm.
and it was famous. And he was pictured in a photo as Richard M. Pringles, the nigger entertainment. Let's come to the modern day minstrel show. You got comedian Kevin posing for Ebony magazine. He's got the same expression on his face that Billy King had, practically what, almost
over 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Over 100 years ago, yeah.
The camera's very close up on his face, showing and exaggerating his facial features, his lips and teeth and skin tone. That's purposely done.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at the movie, Let's Do It Again, the advertisement for it, where you got Jimmy Walker, who's hanging over in the picture, the boxing gloves on, looking with exaggerated teeth, eyes looking stupid. You got one actor, Sidney Poitier, with the big hat that we know he wore in the hood,
mm-hmm.
the gangster cap, and he's got the gun swirling on his finger. Then you got Bill Cosby with the big old applejack in the glasses with the money in his hand. He's the shyster. That's coming forth. So all of these are implementing the things that are projected to everybody else about who we are. You got, unfortunately, you got our brothers, the Harlem Globetrotters. They are made to be the clowns that we dominate. Now, I'm going to give you another one. 2015 Beyonce. You got her in a picture that shows her with a coat that is depicting a minstrel show painting on the coat.
Mm-hmm.
Think that would have some effect on her as far as, I'm not wearing that. That is a disrespectful icon to who we are and to myself as a melanated person. Because you want me to wear something that depicts on my people as a fool. She was good with wearing it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because she had... Her and many others who look like have been desensitized to the point where we were on detriment in order to feel some kind of way. Look at Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns television show. You always see who? Always with the white dyed beard, the dark skin actor, highlighted eyebrows, modern day minstrel show. And everybody watching, everybody hee ha ha. Nobody taking the time to think for themselves. Wait a minute, hold up, that looks familiar. What's going on here? See, when you are mentally attacking your psychic to believe that you're the ugly one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this experiment that was done? I guess it's probably been about 30 years ago, where the lady had children in the room and put two dolls, one white. Black, and they asked the children, what's the good doll and what's the bad doll? All the children picked up whether they were a melanin skin or lighter, picked up the white doll. When they came back and said, what's the bad doll? They immediately picked up the black doll. Where did they come from? These were children.
Mm-hmm.
Indoctrination starts early as a child to prepare them for their that society has said they're supposed to fit in.
Yes, yes, yes. And where black fathers are concerned also, and black men in general, is the assumption of the inability to control ourselves, to be violent. And it's propagated now to the degree that the stereotype is not only promoted and encouraged, but now it's actually art has become reality in some cases. And
yes. And where did the modern day version of that come from? A movie that was
Birth of
put
a Nation
together in 1913, The Birth of a Nation. And it depicted every black man as a oversexed, lustful individual who just had to go get him one that was a little lighter than him and had to steal, got him stealing the chickens from the coop and couldn't have a decent conversation, buckeye and anything, because this was the depiction that today we still live with. Because you can take either you or I or any other black man of any substance, walk in a room with some people that don't look like you and watch the response. And you don't have to come in there with sneakers and hoodie and jeans on. You can come in there in a $1,500 tailor-made suit. I can be a testimony. I walked in the elevator one time some years ago in a hand-tailored suit, mind you. I ain't going to tell you the price. They don't need to know that. And he was the master. Now, I will tell you that the briefcase was made of crocodile. And when I walked in the elevator, there were four women that were lighter than me, and I don't mean Melanie. And their first reaction to me, even though I looked better than the two other white guys that were in the elevator, was to clench their pocketbooks and pull them closer to them. Where does kind of mindset come from?
The propaganda and false narrative.
Absolutely. Of our
being a danger, the concept of menace to society, the concept of degradation, inhuman. When the Central Park jogger incident happened, the response was always depicting them as animals. Even though it wasn't them.
What was the words of the former president? He said, took out an ad in the Post on the front page that they should be lynched. He said, well, that's a trigger right there.
That is politics.
Yes.
That is the politics of propaganda. That is the politics of propaganda. And as we close, because we're coming to a close now, and we got to go on continue this, what they're calling Black History Month, but, it is the truth that makes us free. The truth sometimes is uncomfortable. The truth does three main things. The truth discriminates against everything false.
Come on now. Yeah,
the truth, sometimes when you've been living a lie, the truth hurts. But when it properly works, it becomes wisdom, and the truth makes us free. So let me pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Freedom according to your word. Freedom as disciples, freedom as with a relationship with the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, and that relationship causes us and makes us and molds us, fashions us into free beings using our free will for your glory. So we thank you, Lord, for you are the Aleph Bet Aleph, our Abba, and you have designed fatherhood to bless families. So we overcome the degradation by exposing the truth. We overcome the false narrative by living the truth. We remain hopeful. Yeshua, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the ultimate in fatherhood. For unto us a child was given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I thank you, Lord, for being the Everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord, for fatherhood. This is Furthering Fatherhood. Where fatherhood is elevated, families are empowered, and communities are transformed by five core principles: honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. That's the answer. That is the answer.
Yes, it is.
How to overcome honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Lord, lift us up to your heart so we can share your heart. We thank you, Lord, for victory. In the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, amen and amen. Until next week, be excited to be alive. Love you.